The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
We had a good discussion. We have a good few minutes here of talking about how the Lord's blessed us and things that's going on in our lives and the prayer needs. And we definitely want to continue to lift up those that are watching, those that couldn't be here tonight. We speak Jesus over your situation. We speak Jesus over your problems. We speak Jesus over the fears. We speak Jesus over your life, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through Him. So that name above every name is who we're going to talk about here at the River. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to talk about the Lord, because some people aren't anymore.
That's right.
The great falling away is, I believe, here. I believe that it's time for us to compel them to come in and encourage them to come in, because many are slipping further and further and further away from the Lord, and that's not good. We need to be encouragers and lifting people up in the Word. Amen? And so I'm grateful that I have this opportunity to minister the Word tonight, that you be encouraged in Bible study. This Bible study tonight is not a deep, hard teaching for us to understand tonight. Amen? From the youngest to the oldest, it's not that challenging. However, the application of the Word that will be taught tonight might give all of us a run for our money. You know what I'm talking about. It might challenge every single one of us to look at our lives, our past, where we're at in the now, where we're at in the future, because we're called to make disciples, right? Well, you don't get disciples with candy. Disciples like more than milk. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Disciples want precedence. Disciples want something that buoys them, that is something to hang on to, that you chew on, like a nice piece of jerky. You just get it there in your jaws, and you just chew on a little while and get the Word of God in there, and you just get nourishment, and you just think about it, and you pray about it, and you get fed by it, right? Not this quick dissolving sweet tart that just disappears and like, well, now what do I do? Some meat and potatoes, something that sticks to us a little bit. I did a little too much squirreling up this winter. Now I've got to thin down a little bit, but let it be in this flesh that gets a little bit thinned down and not my spirit. The spirit needs to grow. Amen? We need to crucify this flesh, keep this flesh in check. Our flesh is weak, but our spirit is strong. It is willing, right? So let's go in the Bible study tonight, and let's get in this Word and be encouraged. It won't be a long Bible study, but it'll be something for you to hang on to and chew on to grow in your discipleship with the Lord. And everything that I'm teaching tonight is something the Lord is working with me on, that we're looking at. And if you're a student of Reinhard Bonnke and our daily fire, this might feel familiar to you. If not, this might be a new thing for you. But the last time I spoke on a Wednesday, did you happen to notice verses that were in your Reinhard Bonnke devotion Bible study?
Amen?
Amen. Amen?
Yeah.
So guess what? We're going to go there again tonight. So if you haven't been there yet, then you can get there and you can get a double portion. If you've already been there, well, then now you can get a quadruple portion and get in this Word and let it just get in your spirit and grow from it. Amen? So last time we had Bible study, we were back. Let's start off in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. The Word of God says, "If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." And I'm going to tell you, I want what the Lord has for me. How about you?
Amen.
Amen? But we won't be able to enjoy what the Lord has if we're not willing to get in His Word or spend time with Him, or even our audio Bibles or something. There has to be something that changes from our old nature to our new nature that says, I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to study. I'm willing to at least read the word, or I'm willing to hear the word, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? So if we're going to encourage ourselves and grow our faith, really it comes down to what kind of nature do we have? Are we willing or are we unwilling? Battle number one, right? Like none of us have to go through that every day, every week. There's always something pulling at us, isn't there? I mean, I've been so busy lately. It's like you have to make sure you devote some time to what's most important and prioritize, because otherwise the world and everything will just suck the time and life out of you. Amen? Anybody? Right? Just being real, right? And it's for disciples, we know that those things happen, so we're on guard for it. Do I pass the test every day? No. Do I pass it every week? No. But I'm making a diligent effort to be willing and then be obedient to what the Lord has for me and to eat of the good of the land. Amen? Because if you don't, guess what? You become spiritually weak. You become spiritually dry. You might become a little hangry. Right? You might need a Snickers bar because you're just not yourself anymore. Right? Come on. Amen? So I don't worry. I mean, this. Hey, Dairy Queen, little ice cream bar goes a long way sometimes. I had an ice cream sandwich the other day. That was pretty yummy. It made me feel a little better. Amen? Couple sweet tarts makes you feel a little better. But you know that's only temporary. That's just something that soothes you. But really, it's when you get in this word and you get refreshed and re-encouraged. That's what really helps us the most, right? So in your Bible study, that was the last time. And now tonight, we're going to be in James chapter 3. Because in part of your Bible study tonight, in the devotion, is James chapter 3. Right? So what's interesting is that this word that goes forth is not the easy way route. It's because we're in there and we're encouraging one another in the word. And the word can touch us in different ways to help bless us and go through things. And, you know, I often talk about the potter's wheel and I talk about the blacksmith shop, but there's also something before I get there in James, you can hold that spot, that is in my spirit tonight as we go into this growing season. Because I like gardening. I really do, but it's work, isn't it? It's so much easier just to go to the store and buy it, but you may not always be able to buy it. So you might look for some resources where you can grow your own or store your own, right? And that's what I'm doing. And because I like to do it anyway, and I've made many meals, and thanks to my mom and my grandmother, they helped teach me how to can. And we talked a little bit about our moms on Sundays and tried to honor the moms and the different levels of moms and the heart and the caring of a mom. And dads are important too. I got it. Don't get me wrong. But my mom and my grandmother, they taught me how to can and how to work the crops, if you will, as far as planting and doing it right. My mom has a green thumb and a half. And we've been talking about gardening, and we're both getting kind of excited about that. I know it's work, and I know it's going to be a lot to can, but it's like, it's so refreshing just to pull a tomato off the vine, isn't it? Just have you a nice BLT, right, fresh out of the garden. Maybe go right out to the fence and grab you enough for a salad, and or grab you a scallion to go with your cheeseburger. You know, anybody but me? It's just yummy goodness, isn't it? Getting some fresh carrots out of the garden, you barely get them cleaned off and chomp on them. Just little things in life that are really refreshing in this world that's just going a mile a minute, you know. So as I jump there, and not to get on my rabbit trails, but I'm reminded in John chapter 15. If you go there with me real quick, in John chapter 15, in red, the Word of God says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Now, I never liked that. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. And I don't like that too much either. But he says that these things happen that it may bear more fruit. As a disciple, I'm wanting to bear more fruit. How about you? Amen? It says, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. But he reminds us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So no matter how busy you get, no matter how much the world's pulling on you, remember, our place is to be connected in the vine, be connected to the house of the Lord, be connected in church, be connected to His Word. Because He says in verse 5, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I don't want to be that person. I want to be the one that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen?
Amen? But you know, this pruning process, as I read that, I was thinking about the tomatoes. Now, I like ketchup, and I like salsa, and I like BLTs. But some people can take a tomato and just eat it right off the plant. I can only do so much of that. But some, well, you give them salt, they'll just, I mean, I've seen some that they're ready to put salt on the plant and just chomp on it, you know, right out of the garden. But you know, each one of us grow at different seasons, and we're all on different walks. And the Lord prunes us differently, believe it or not. Each one of us go through seasons and different, some are different levels where the Lord's trying to take us. And I think about those tomato plants because you ever heard of a tomato sucker? It's like a little, the little growth in between the two shoots. And the gardening experts and mom and grandma and all those always said, you prune them. And that makes the branch stronger. And that gives you more plants. So when you have those branches, you'll have just a little bitty growth. Well, that takes nutrients away from the main branch. So instead of thinking as pruning a bad thing, is it possible that us disciples could change our mind, get a renewing of our mind to think about when God prunes us that He's doing us a favor so that we would be stronger, our limbs and our branches and our members would be stronger, that we'd be stronger together, we'd be stronger in our walk with Him. Instead of it, the first thing going, well, I don't like being pruned. I don't like, you see, are we willing and obedient? Because if we're willing and obedient to the potter's wheel, to the pruning of God, watch what God does with us in our discipleship. It's not always easy when we're pruned a little bit. But His Word says that every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes. Because He wants it to grow to the potential that you have. I was recently thinking about Pastor Jess Gibson. He's passed away now. It was many years I got to meet with him. And the message I got to hear from him and talk to him, he was talking about reaching your potential. And I've kind of been thinking about that. It's like, have you ever thought about God's wanting to take us to a level of prosperity, of your potential, of your discipleship, of you leading others to Christ, that you all those things are not as if they are. You lay hands on the sick and they recover. That you walk by faith and not by sight. All those things that God is molding and shaping the faithful, those that are faithful, that we set ourselves up for a pruning every once in a while. And when I read the devotion today, this is where I'm going. Because as I read in James chapter 3 for the devotion, naturally I read ahead a little bit so I could prepare for tonight. But it caught my attention of things that I don't always like, but yet it's good for me. You know? How many of you, you may not like a certain food or something, but it's good for you. Right? We may not like necessarily, well, at least as a young Christian, there was many things that I didn't necessarily like, but yet it was good for me.
Like
like pruning less TV? That could be. I mean, you could think of a number of things, couldn't you? You know, discipline myself to be in the Word in the mornings or in the evenings or whatever is your time, right? Discipline, even though we got a million things going on, you know, those little things where the Lord's working on us. You know, at one time, it seems so simple, but I guess I'll be a little transparent, is I used to really like Mountain Dew. And I like the flavor of the pop. I like pop. But yet it's not good for me, and it's definitely not good for me, and it didn't help me with my 3 root canals that I had to have. And the Lord began to work on me. It's like, because I wouldn't get a 20-ounce pop. I'd have a 2-liter. Well, it's cheaper that way. Right? It's cheaper to buy a 2-liter than a 20-ouncer, so I might as well carry, I can carry that 2-liter with me. But the Lord began to work on me that it's like, hey, this, you know, this probably isn't good. And it turned from, now there's nothing wrong with Mountain Dew or pop as far as some spiritual sin thing, okay? It may not be good for you, it may be full of sugar, okay? But you're not going to hell for drinking pop, okay? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But for me, it became almost like an addiction. So now it became a problem because it had a control over me that I'm like, well, I can't even drink a glass of water. I got to have pop all the time. So the Lord began to work on me. It's like, hey, you're not helping your sugar level out. You're not feeling good. You're achy. I already had joint problems. I'm achy. My sugar level's going up and down, up and down. I can't sleep at night. I wonder why. And wouldn't feel too good. And I was thirsty all the time because I wouldn't drink any water. Well, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just telling you my story, okay? You like pop, praise the Lord. You do whatever you want to do. But for me, I had to thin it down because it owned me. So on my process is I was being pruned a little bit because I was feeling it from the Lord going, hey, grab it. And then the wife would help me out too, and she'd remind me. Like, well, the Lord was using her to tell me maybe you need to drink some more water. I'm like, okay, yes, Lord. Right? You go to get a pot. Hey, you sure you want to drink that? Yeah, all right. Right? Just one example. TV, sugar, pop, speeding, you know, whatever. You name it, right? The Lord could be working on you going in each of our own lives going, hey, you know what? I'd really like to talk to you in the mornings. Right? I only hear from you when you're in need. I notice that you only pray when you're in trouble. The Lord might be working on you to say, hey, you know, you never know. So anyway, not to get on a rabbit trail, because you know I'm trying to stay on point, that when I read James chapter 3, there's a little bit of pruning going on for me. And that's the teaching. So I can get through this in about 15 or 20 minutes, because it will challenge us as disciples on everyday life. It's not hard. But it is the application of the Word that then challenges us. Amen? So, in James chapter 3, this lines up with your devotion. And the title on my Bible, in page 1898, says, The Untamable Tongue. And it says, My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Don't get ahead of God. There's a stricter judgment for those of us that teach that says, okay, you're going to teach the Word. I'm going to hold you accountable. You don't add anything. You don't take anything away from it. Right? And in the kingdom dynamics, I like to read this as I just go right down this list because I think this is really, really good. It says, the high standards for leadership. Leaders are judged with a higher standard than those who follow. 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 give great attention to details, but here James reminds that those in leadership will be held accountable for exemplifying Jesus Christ in their spirit and behavior as well as in their words and duties. Government, military, and business leaders are seldom judged on their personal lives. Leaders in the kingdom, however, are judged not so much by what they accomplish as by the character they reveal. Who they are before what they do. That challenges me. It challenges me, especially in the workplace and out in the world. It's like, hey, right? The high standard applies not so much to the leader's achievements as to the condition of his or her heart and spirit. So you notice last time we spoke about that heart for God. Remember in Isaiah and in Psalms 51, we talked about not a head knowledge, but a heart knowledge. So here, the high standard applies not so much to the leader's achievement as to the condition of his or her heart and the spirit. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it's an indicator. Your heart is an indicator of where you're at and what you're going through to keep things in check, right? It is possible to have grand accomplishments and even orthodox behavior, but still manifest a loveless. Listen to this. Isn't this? This is unbelievable. It is possible to have grand accomplishments and even orthodox behavior, but still manifest a loveless, ungodly spirit. Wow. But if first the leader's heart is right, godly behavior will always follow and good leadership will be manifested. Amen? If the heart is right. If the heart is right, godly behavior follows. Right? But I'll be the first one to stand up here and tell you that this is potter's wheel material for me, because some people just aggravate me like no tomorrow. And you gotta learn to do good. Remember we read last time? Learn to love. It is for me. Verse 2. So we'll keep reading. You see if this touches you like it does me, because it prunes me a little bit. It says, "For we all stumble in many things." Yep, amen. "If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body." Verse 3. "Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell." This little thing right here can get me and you in more trouble. Amen. Come on. Amen. Let's get real. It's real because we go through challenges, we go through pressures, we go through anxieties, we go through frustrations, we go through lost folk, we go through deceived folk, people that call themselves Christians or not, and it's challenging. It is a constant potter's wheel pruning for me of retaking tests all the time, learning how to love, learning how to do good, learn to be patient. Come on, right? It says, "For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by mankind." You know, it's amazing. My wife can train 1,500-pound quarter horses. And them, but she can not even hold the reins, and with her toes and the back of her heels, she can move that 1,500, 1,200-pound, 1,000, depends if they're a barn elephant or not. If they're a baby barn elephant or a big barn elephant, right? Depends how big a backside they got, right? So let's just say 1,000 pounds, that way I don't over-exaggerate. But she can move that horse with her toes, with the heel. Move it to the left, move it to the right. once it's been broken, once it's been groomed, once it's been pruned, once it understands authority, once it understands that the rider is who's in control, not fancy, right? You may have your own pet name for a horse, whatever that you had. But we know people with horses here at the river, and we know that if they don't behave themselves, you have to use authority on that animal to get what you want until they become willing and obedient.
Come on.
Right? But once they know who is of authority in their life, they become willing, which makes life a whole lot easier. You don't worry about getting bucked off anymore. And they become obedient to the rider of what the rider wants. Can we apply that to our lives? Are we willing and obedient to the one who has authority in our lives? Are we still working on that rebellious going where the rider wants to take us? Are you here? Right? That's good. Is that good? Because that's why that willing obedience, if you're willing to be, you'll eat from the land, because this guy sometimes is not real willing. And I want to kind of buck the system a little bit. You know what gets me in trouble? Right here. Verse 8 says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison." Ugh. Verse 9, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." Welcome to pruning material. Any one of us, at one time or another, has fell, tripped, whatever, be the first one to stand before you, where this thing has got me in trouble. Even trying to do right, this thing gets me in trouble. Amen? Welcome to pruning material, disciples. Welcome to that check, as you hear this, as we're in the devotion, we're in the Reinhard Bonnke devotion, of this word hitting today that goes, what's the Lord trying to say? Is it by accident that it's in there? Or did God have a reason and knew that we would be reading it today? I think God knows more than we. The Bible says that His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So I think God knew that maybe we need a double portion of this reading tonight so that this guy would become willing and obedient to where he wants to take me. Huh? Is that good? I think it's good. I don't like to be pruned, but it's good for me. Amen?
Amen.
Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or grapevines bear figs? You know, when I planted that tomato plant yesterday, am I going to get cucumbers from it? No. No, you're going to get romas. That's what you planted. That's what you're going to get. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your what? Hearts? Do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, now look at this, I thought this was really interesting. Where there's envy and self-seeking, where that's allowed to live, Confusion and every evil thing are there. You'll find them paired up. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Then peace. Gentle. Man, do I have some work to do there. Man. Ouch. Willing to yield? You mean willing? I've got to go where God says me to. I can, oh, God. Oh, really? I'm going to send you here. Lord, okay, send me. Right? Full of mercy. And what kind of fruits? Good fruits. Without partiality and without hypocrisy. Ugh. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. This tongue. James tells us, out of the same mouth proceed blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. As you're going through things and the pressure's on, the heat's on, more than just 85 degrees today, the test will come. What's in here? Watch for it. Train for it. Train for it. Train your flesh to be submitted, willing, and obedient to God's Word. Flesh, you must get in line with the Word of God. And discipline this body for the tests and the trainings to come. Because there will be challenges and there will be tests, I'm sure of it, if you haven't already seen it, and you might just need this very word that the Lord need to get in us, a double portion, to prepare us to submit and be willing to the Holy Spirit so that then we can be obedient to where He has us to go, where He has us to say, who He has us to talk to, who He has us to minister to, maybe even some of those that we may have to correct or do whatever to help lead them in the way they should go. But you can do it in love. Amen? Taming this tongue. Easy to get, challenging to apply. Amen? Short and sweet tonight. But the test now comes in the very application of the Word. You may be successful in all your endeavors. Amen? So God bless you, you watching tonight. Taming this tongue. Oh, it's a challenge, I know. But you can do it with the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. And you can be willing and obedient to the call of where God wants you to go, who He wants you to talk to, and the situations that you will meet this week and weeks to come. Amen? So God bless you. We'll be expecting you here at the River this Sunday, 10 a.m. God bless you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.